Reading from Mark 9, 38, 50. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other.
Hi there. I'm Steve Kimes. I'm pastor of Anoim Christian Community. Anoim is a Hebrew word which means the poor who seek the Lord for deliverance. And I just want to let you know that if you happen to have a young person who's just out of seminary, do not let them name your church, because no one will be able to pronounce it. And so now it's our 501c3. It's everything. I can't change it now. I wish I could. Anyway. I just want to make reference to what Phil said. Yeah, the city of Gresham, where our congregation is located, our congregation is about 90% homeless. And no, the city of Gresham doesn't like us very much. I was thinking about it because we're starting to wrap up the work there in Portland. I'm thinking, you know, if I'm going to go and offer to be a pastor somewhere else, probably the first thing that I need to mention is I just wanted to let you know that in the last church that I was in, the city where we held arrested me. Whatever that means. But, you know, just had to keep going. So I saw the email that Gary sent out to all of you, and he said, well, the sermon is going to be about Mark chapter 9, these verses. And he says, I don't know what it's going to be about, but Steve does, and so that's good enough. And I'm going to tell you right now what the sermon is about so you know ahead of time, so you don't have to guess. Okay, the sermon is about unity. This sermon is about unity, about church unity. Now, usually when we're going to talk about church unity, we're going to go straight to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, where Jesus is praying, may they be one as we are one, as the Father and I are one. We would go to that passage. The problem with that passage is it doesn't actually clarify what Jesus means by one, or what unity actually looks like. It isn't very clear. There are some hints. So I like to go to Mark chapter 9, because Mark chapter 9 actually lays it out pretty clearly and gives us a lot of examples. So all I'm going to do here is we're just going to kind of walk through this passage, and I want to show you how all of this long, kind of a long passage, how it's all talking about the same thing. Okay, that this is kind of a sermon that Jesus is impromptu giving to his disciples here. All right, so we've got John. John and James were the rabble-rousers. That's how come Jesus called them sons of thunder, not because their father's name was Thunder, but because they were rabble-rousers. So he's coming up and said, Teacher, we saw somebody casting out demons in your name, and we told him to stop.
because he's not following us, because he's not one of us. So, you know, we did the right thing. We just want to make sure that you are in agreement with us that this is the right thing. And Jesus said, no, that wasn't the right thing. Don't hinder him, because there's no one who will perform a miracle in my name and soon be able to speak ill of me. What John is doing is he's doing a little bit about what all of us do. Well, I don't know that I trust those Christians over there because they don't go to the right church. They have a different doctrine over there, a doctrine that I don't know. They looked at our church and they said, oh, I don't want to go to that church. I'll take part of what they believe. I'll take the casting out demons in Jesus' name part. That's fine. We're in agreement on that part. But I don't want to actually be a part of them. So I'm not going to be a part of them. So they're off doing their own thing. And John is rightly saying, hey, they're not a part of us. They shouldn't have any part of us. No part of us. They shouldn't be using Jesus' name. Jesus is ours. That's my Jesus. That guy doesn't get it. That guy probably has all the wrong teachings. I know because, see, Jesus has been talking to me and he's been giving me the secret teaching. So that guy doesn't have the secret teaching at all. So he's wrong. And that guy is wrong because, you know what, I'll bet you that he's got a bad motivation. Jesus has been teaching us all about love. And so we know how to love, but that guy doesn't. And so I'm not going to have anything to do with that guy because he's bad at loving. I'm not going to have anything to do with that guy because he belongs to a different group. He's outside of our group. So in fact, we might not even call that guy a Christian. He could be using Jesus' name, but how do we know that he's actually even talking about the same Jesus? So John is coming out with this kind of stuff, and Jesus is saying, you know, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at what group this guy is a part of. You are looking at whether he is acceptable in your eyes. I love the translation that I have. The one that was read here was a better translation. Okay, I'll admit that. But this one is cool because it says Jesus. This is a New American Standard. It says Jesus. We tried to prevent him because he was not following us. And Jesus is saying, who is he supposed to follow? Was he supposed to be following you? Is that the point? This is the thing that I often don't understand. It mystifies me again and again how people say, well, Jesus said that if we're going to be saved, we need to believe. No. Jesus said that if we're going to be saved, we need to believe in him. Not in Christianity, not in Mennonitism, not in our doctrine, not in the things that we hold on to, but in Jesus. And so this guy is being led by the Spirit to do something different than what the other disciples are doing. This guy is not sitting at Jesus' feet drinking in all the teaching. All he knows is that if he uses Jesus' name, he can cast out demons and people are set free. And the disciples go, well, that's not good enough. And Jesus says, why? Why is that not good enough? Because he's following the right guy. He may not be doing all the things that you're doing, and maybe you're right. Maybe it'd be better if he was here and he was getting all the teaching, but you know what? It doesn't matter because he's still doing what needs to be done. And then Jesus goes on. He says, for whoever is not against us is for us. In another place, Jesus says, whoever is not for us is against us. And we just go, oh, I'm all confused. Anyway, but I think the real point in verse 41, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. When Jesus is saying this in Mark chapter 9, Jesus has not confessed in public that he was the Christ. So what Jesus is saying is that if anyone gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of the Messiah, and everyone has a different idea of who the Messiah is, then he hasn't lost his reward. You guys are still on the same team. And I want you to notice what the low bar is. The low bar is not, well, did he sign his name at the bottom of the correct doctrinal statement? It is not, does he go to the right church? Is he doing the right things? Is he going to church every week? Nope, those aren't the low bar. The low bar is, did he give a cup of water? That's pretty good. I like that. Did he give a cup of water? Has he ever given a cup of water in the name of a Messiah that he doesn't know? That's the bar. I remember there's a lot of people, nowadays there's people who are, like I said, I work with folks on the street. There are a lot of really solid Christians on the street, really solid believers, people who are totally committed to Jesus and are following him as best they can. And some of them are mentally ill, and some of them are pretty strange, and some of them do some pretty strange things. And there are some of these folks that I know who are really solid believers, and they will go to a church, or the church will turn them away immediately. Usually because they had some problem with them in the past, or maybe it's because they didn't like the way that he smelled, or they didn't like the fact that he hasn't had a bath in a month. These kinds of things. They're concerned about their children. This is the one that I hear most often. Well, you know, the kids. You got to protect the kids. and yet, I would say that that some of these folks on the street, if you have a problem, if you need food, you go to them and they're going to give it to you. While you go to that church who's rejecting them and said, hey, we really need some food, and the church might, and that particular church might say, well, we have a canned food giveaway, but that's not open this week. That's open next week. I can't give you any food today. I just don't have access to it. Oh, I don't know where the key is. Instead of actually working and saying, well, you know, what do we have that we can give? We're thinking, oh, well, you know, this isn't my department. This isn't the way that we work it here. But this guy, if you say, well, I'm hungry, he's going to dig in his pack. And his pack is about this big and this wide. And he's going to dig in his pack and get down to the bottom of his pack. And he's going to get out some honey. And he's going to give you a spoon of honey, because he knows that this particular honey that he's got has got a ton of nutrition. And it'll really meet your need and give you energy. It may not be much. But the thing is that he's willing to give whatever it is that he's got. His name is Byron, by the way. He comes in the area. He rides a bike. He rides his bike between Portland and Albany all the time. So if you happen to see him, say hi. And so Jesus is saying, it's the guy who gives the cup of cold water. That's the one who's the disciple. That's the one that we need to welcome, no matter what, whether they agree with us, whether we have the same understanding or not. That's the standard. That's the bar. So then we get to the tougher part of the passage, starting in verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe to stumble, it'd be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he would have been cast in the sea. First thing I want to emphasize here is Jesus is not focusing on who we should judge and who we shouldn't judge. That's not actually the point. It's what he's focusing on is how is it, if we are the person who judges and causes someone to fall away from Jesus. So if we go to someone and says, you don't belong to the right group, you don't pray the right prayers, you don't sing the right songs, and you don't have the right doctrine, and we say, well, you obviously are not the real thing. And if that person falls away from Jesus because some official person is saying you're not the real thing, Jesus said, you're in big trouble. you are causing that person to fall away from me. You are causing that person to go away from me because your standards are so high, you can't accept someone who is going to, just wants to help people in my name. No, they may not have the right doctrine or go to the right church or all that. That's not the point. The point is, are they going to give a cold water, cup of cold water in my name? And if you say, no, you're not good enough, because giving a cup of cold water isn't good enough, we're in the wrong. And Jesus says, yeah, if you're one of those guys who say the cup of cold water isn't good enough, who rejects people because the cup of cold water isn't good enough, it's not going to be good. He says, think about this. You go ahead and take this guy and tie a rope around his neck. And on the other end of the rope, you're going to tie a millstone. So it's a stone about this big. Sometimes they are as heavy as 2 tons. This is a really heavy, heavy stone. The point about millstones is it has to be heavy because it's got to crush the grain. So you got this millstone, and you tie that around their neck, and then you take them, and then you dump them into the middle of the sea, and they go down to the middle of the sea, and they're at the bottom because the millstone is taking them down to the bottom. And he says, you know what? I want you to think about this. That guy who's at the bottom of the sea, he's lucky compared to the person who causes one of my people to stumble. Because it says it would be better for him. He's the lucky one. The guy at the bottom of the sea with the millstone around his neck, that guy's the lucky one. We don't even know what happens to the other guy. And Jesus said, you don't want to know. Don't even think about that. And so there are certain people, if there are people, Jesus is saying, and they are people who are causing ones to stumble. Now, we got this whole passage that if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life crippled. And he goes on like that. The hand, the foot, the eye, that's not the point. Those are symbols. Because you can cut off as many hands as you want, but that's not going to make you pure or impure. That's not going to make you a better person or not a better person. That's not going to make you more accepting or not accepting. That's not the point. Jesus is using the hand and the eye and the foot as a symbol for the kinds of things that causes us to put people into boxes and reject them. He says, that's what you need to cut off. You need to cut off that attitude. You need to cut off the people in your church. The fact is that in this context, Mark is almost certainly talking about people. People who say, well, this one, and this one, you guys need to go. The people who start pointing and saying, yeah, you guys are the ones that need to go because you don't agree with me. Jesus saying, actually, the guy who does that, that's the one that has to be separated. It's one thing that we often misunderstand. We often think, well, Jesus has his arms open to everyone. Have you read the woes to the Pharisees lately? They aren't pretty. He uses terms like hypocrites and whitewashed sepulchers, and I mean, it's just, it's pretty ugly. He makes it very clear that there are certain people that don't go in. It is not that Jesus doesn't have a group who's in and a group who's out. He does. He has a group who's in and a group who's out. It's just, it doesn't look like the groups that we usually put together. Jesus wants to take in the people that most people want to reject. And Jesus wants to keep out many of the people that we might want to keep in. That's the thing. And so it looks like Jesus is Jesus is completely accepting, but he's not. And so Jesus is saying, yeah, the guy who says, you have to go because I don't like the way that you follow Jesus, those are the guys that need to go. I want to bring up another thing. Luke chapter 9, and Luke actually quotes a lot of this passage, and then he brings in another story. This story, you've got James and John, and they're all the disciples are going through Samaria. James and John are looking at the Samaritans, and the Samaritans are like, oh, you Jesus people, you need to get out of here. And they're running them out of town. And James and John turns to Jesus and says, Master, let's cast down fire from heaven and burn them up. I love the disciples because they kind of make me look good. Because, you know, no matter how many, you know, I can usually, because I'm looking in hindsight, and the disciples are just like, oh man, the disciples screwed up again. Yes! Now I get to feel a little bit better about myself. But the thing is that what James and John, what they're actually doing is Jesus, let's look at these people over here and let's send them to hell. Because these people deserve to go to hell. Look at how they're rejecting you. Look at what they're doing. But Jesus is looking at these people, and he's not seeing people that are necessarily going to go to hell. He's not looking at people who's like, well, you're going to go to hell? Might as well send you there now. He's not doing that at all. Instead, Jesus is looking and he's saying, these are people who are also following me. They're just taking a different route. That's one thing that we have to remember. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is following the route to Jesus. That's simply not true, okay? I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is there's a lot of people who we want to judge and say, these people haven't learned the lessons that I've learned. Therefore, they deserve to be judged or they're going to go to hell. How many, I know how many folks in this room have been a follower of Jesus or a believer for more than 10 years? Oh, yeah, that's a lot of folks. How many of you folks have been a believer for more than 20 years? I thought so. I'm not going to go any further. And I just want you to think to yourself, how many of you believed the same things 20 years ago as you do today? In fact, I can say that probably if myself now and myself 20 years ago, we met in a room and we had a thrash out about the Bible or doctrine or something like that, probably both of us would walk away and say, that guy's in trouble. But the thing is that where I'm at, I'm the same guy I was 20 years ago. I've just learned more. Or the guy 20 years ago would say, I learned less. So if we have a person who is in front of us and they're on a path and we say, you know what, that path is bad, that path is wrong, and I can't be associated with that person because they're going the wrong direction, just remember, we thought ourselves today would say that the guy 20 years ago was going the wrong direction. We would think that person's going the wrong direction. But you know what? Ended up in the same place anyway. And that's because every single one of us, without exception, have the same spirit that is directing us. Some of us may listen to that spirit better than others, but every single one of us have the same spirit. And Jesus is saying, don't look at where somebody's at right now. Look at where the spirit could direct them. It's not time to judge. It's not time to condemn. It's not time to say, yeah, you're going to hell. It's time to pray and say, Lord, that guy needs the Holy Spirit, and I'm just gonna ask you to put the Holy Spirit out on them. But you know what prayer does? Gives us the Holy Spirit. So that way we can start seeing better. Because a lot of times it's not the other person who's seeing wrong. A lot of times it's me. A lot of times we can divide the church and we can say, well, you voted for the wrong person. You voted for the wrong person. You hold the wrong doctrine. And you know what? We're all just steps on a path. And we can't look at the other person and say, well, you voted for the wrong person. Maybe they did vote for the wrong person. I don't know. But Jesus is saying, are they a person who gives a cup of cold water? Do they give a cup of cold water? Then it doesn't matter who they voted for. Because in the end, the Holy Spirit's going to lead them in the right place. So Mark chapter 9, verse 49, it says, everyone will be salted with fire. Everybody gets judged. Everybody has a period of time in which God is going to look at us and say, okay, that's it. That's time. We're going to look and see what you got. And Jesus says, salt is good. Salt is savory. But if the salt becomes unsavory, then what will you make to make it salty again? There are two kinds of things that we could look at as far as what savory is. We could look at whether the person is following Jesus correctly, whether they have the right doctrine or whether they have the right songs and whether they have the right church. And we can say, yeah, that person is salt and light. That's the guy. That's that person's salt and light. That's the one that we can do. But Jesus says, are they given a cup of cold water? In other words, instead of looking at the things that we always look at, let's look at whether they're given a cup of cold water. And so have salt in yourselves. Be the person who gives the cup of cold water. A person just today on social media was talking about, you know, I'm so mad because these people over there aren't being good Christians because they're not loving and they're not loving me. And I did the sneaky pastor thing and said, oh yeah, well, you know, how are you loving? In this context, what is it that you're supposed to love? We need to stop thinking about how everyone else is wrong and start thinking about how we can be right. How do we give the cup of cold water? Where is the cup of cold water today, right now? How do we give that without judging someone, without determining what their future is? Because that's not our place, that's God's place. God is the one who judges. God is the one who determines what someone's future is, not us. We need to be savory and be at peace with one another. Keep giving the cup of cold water. Keep loving, keep helping people, no matter what, and God will sort it out. May the Lord bless this reading of his word.